final remarks. We're going to deal with 1 Chronicles 28, 29, and 1 Kings 2. But first, 1 Chronicles 28. That's where we'll go. We know that David pretty much is on his deathbed, and even on his deathbed, he locked in the revelation from God on how to make sure that Solomon would be made king. He didn't go, "Don't bother me, you guys figure it out." No, he still had authority and respect in the country, and because of that, Solomon, the right son, became king. So, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 1, "And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousand, captains over the hundreds, and stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men under Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet, and he said, 'Hear me, my brother, and my people. As for me, I had it in my heart to build a house for the rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God that had made ready for the building. But God said to me, "Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel." So, basically, he's getting everybody together, and he's giving his final remarks. And in his farewell speech here, he says, "God chose me. God chose Solomon. We didn't petition. God is the one who's behind it." So, you can always move away if you don't like it. All right. Verse 6. "And he said unto me, 'Solomon thy son.'" And again, David obviously has the respect of his people, very much so at this time, of the whole nation. So he's making sure everybody knows that, you know, everybody would agree that God chose David now, pretty much. So everybody will be in agreement that God chose Solomon. He's making sure, and now he's going to tell everybody, Solomon is going to build God a house. He's not doing it for ego. God wants it built. It's not just a massive building project because, you know, we've got the funds to do it. We're not building a bridge in the middle of nowhere just for the heck of it. All right? This is a specific building project that God wants done. Everybody got this? Don't just come after Solomon right away like he's wasting all the money and he should be feeding the poor or, you know, giving it away here or there. All right. "And he said unto me," verse 6, "Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. And if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day." One more thing, remember that it was foretold way back with Joseph, you know, that through the tribe of Judah, the Messiah would come. And now it was chosen through the house of David the Messiah would come. So that's also a big deal that they all need to be reminded of. "Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God." And that's a great exhortation today. We should keep and seek the commandments of God. What is God's will for your life? "Then, that you may possess this good land, and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart." So he's encouraging Solomon, who's probably right there next to him. "Solomon, my son, know that the God of my father, know him, read about him, understand him, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts, and he understands all the imagination of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it." Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch. I told you he had the blueprints. And the pattern of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, you know, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit. So, how did David get it? Revelation. God told him, he's got it all, the pattern. He received it by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, of the chambers round about it, of the treasuries of the house of God, of the treasuries of the dedicated things. So, God had given David by revelation through the Spirit the blueprints, not only for the construction of the temple, but for the surrounding areas as well. There'll be a nice little park over here. We'll put a swing set right there. You know, over there will be the drinking fountain. Over there, the people from Colorado. God also informed him as to who would perform what service once the temple was completed. All right, verse 19. 28:19. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. You talk about having everything handed you in a silver platter. Here's the blueprints. Here's everything that you need. You just get to build it. You get, you know, you got all the tinker toys. Now, put it all together, all the Lincoln logs, you know, put it all together. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of a good courage. I love the fact that it keeps coming up. And do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake thee. Do you ever hear that in manifestations? Mm-hmm. Only all the time. Why? Because we need to hear it. God won't fail you. God won't forsake you until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And they're all going, yeah, we got a job. We're employed. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship. In other words, we've got willing, skillful labor. They've gone to Everest College. They know what they're doing. For any manner of service. You know, we need electricians, we got electricians. We need plumbers, we got plumbers. You know, we need carpenters, we got them. Also, the princes and all the people will be wholly at thy commandment. In other words, it's a building project everybody likes. Now, since David had the blueprints, he had been stockpiling supplies for years. And he has it all ready for Solomon. He's got wood. He's got stone. He's got nails, gold, silver, precious stones, ceramics, cloth, brass, marble, skillful, willing laborers. He even has EPA and FDA approval.
FDA.
Yeah, I know. That's why I threw that in there. 1 Chronicles 29:1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen. I love that little dig there. Whom alone, no other of my sons, just him, God has chosen, is yet young and tender. Oh, Dad. But the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold. And he's got the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things made that's supposed to be made of iron, and wood for the things of wood. We have onyx stones and all kinds of other stones that need to be set. Glycerine stones and of many colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. And we even have tile workers.
Very important.
You need tile workers.
You got to have tile workers, yeah. David donated to the house of God about $5 billion worth of materials. That's being committed to your project. That's not just talking about it and going, yeah, we ought to do this. Let's pass the hat. All you guys need to give. No. He gave. He collected materials. All right, 29:3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God. Didn't say somewhere in Colossians we're supposed to set our affections on things above?
Yep.
Well, here's a great illustration of that. I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Now he's going to, you know, 3,000 talents of gold, And it's the gold of Ophir and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses where all the gold for things of gold, silver for things of silver, and all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificer, the skilled laborers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and the captains of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work, they also offered grudgingly. No, it didn't say that. They offered willingly. And they gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents, 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found, all the jewelers, they gave to the treasury of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel, the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly. Look at that. They were rejoicing because they were offering willingly. Because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy, because he saw other people giving and knew they'd be blessed. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our fathers, forever and ever. Thy, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is thy kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might. And in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and we praise thy glorious name." Play ball. David just gets God. I didn't know how else to put that. He just gets God. He just understands God. No wonder he was a man after God's own heart. He willingly chose to fulfill all that God wanted him to do. Again, Acts 13. Sherry, it's in the syllabus. Could you read that for us, please?
"And afterward they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus."
Thank you. All right, back to Chronicles 29, verse 14. And then David is humbled. But who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. And basically it's like saying, God supplied all this for us. We should give it to God. No, God's doing the supplies. What's wrong? Give it back to God. "For we are strangers before thee, and we're sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow. There is none abiding. O Lord our God, and all the store that we have prepared to build thee a house for thy holy name cometh of thy hand, and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the hearts and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their heart unto thee. And God, please give Solomon, my son, a perfect, a willing heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for the which I have made provision." Of all the things David could pray for Solomon to have, he asked God to give him a true, willing, undivided heart, one that was loaded with integrity towards serving God and his people. Let's continue with verse 20 of 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29:20. "And David said to all the congregation, Now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers." and bowed down their heads and worshipped the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord. On the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs. But shouldn't we keep some and feed the poor people? No. The country was prospering with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. And they did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon the son of David king the second time. So this was his coronation that wasn't hastily thrown together. This was the well thought through wedding. I mean the coronation of second time through. And they anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor. And Zadok, you're now the priest. Then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father, and he prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. And all the princes and the mighty men, and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel, and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any other king before him in Israel. Thus David the son of Jesse reigned over all Israel, and the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him and over Israel and over all the kingdoms of the countries. Now, as you can see, we now know who wrote a lot of the books of Samuel, right? Samuel, Nathan, and Gad. These were three of the people that God basically worked with to continue writing the Bible, to continue the story of David. All right. Now, this was the record from the book of Chronicles. Let's go to the book of Kings, 1 Kings 2, and we'll see that it adds to the narrative. One thing, though, is very certain throughout. David continues to, even at his advanced age, insist that God's will is carried out properly. Here's the blueprints. This is not, it's going to be this color. It's going to be this stone. It's going to be built this way. 1 Kings 2, verse 1. Just the way God wants all of it. All right, 1 Kings 2, 1. Now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Grow up, Solomon. And here's what you need to do, Solomon. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, keep his commandments, keep his judgments, his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest, and whithersoever thou turnest thyself, that the Lord may continue his word which he spake concerning me, saying, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth, with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee, said he, a man on the throne of Israel. So basically, if your children and children's children all continue to walk for me, smooth sailing. And that's exactly what happened. Well, maybe not. Now, next on the docket, how to deal with traitors. And I find this interesting that it's in Kings and not in Chronicles. Verse 5. Moreover, thou knowest also what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, and what he did to the two captains of the hosts of Israel, what he did unto Abner the son of Ner, and what he did unto Amasa the son of Jether, whom he slew. And he shed the blood of war in peace, and put the blood of war upon his girdle, that was upon his loins, and in his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his horror head go down to the grave in peace. Horror means white. His white head, you know, in other words, yeah, he's getting old, but he better not die in peace. because of his sins. There needed to be justice in the land. But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai the Gilead, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. For so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother. And behold, thou hast with thee Shemaiah, the son of Gera, a Benjaminite of Baharam, which cursed me with a grievous curse in the day that I went to Manahem. But he came down to meet me at Jordan, and I swore by him by the Lord, saying, I will not put thee to death with the sword. Remember, he was the one who cursed him through stones and all of that, and Abiathar was ready to, Abishai wanted to take him out, which was one of the Joab's other brother. All right. Now, therefore, hold him not guiltless, for thou art a wise man and knowest what thou oughtest to do unto him. But his hoar head bring thou down to the grave with blood. So David slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And the days that David reigned over Israel were 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. Then sat Solomon upon the throne of David, his father, and his kingdom was established greatly. David hasn't been dead very long when it becomes very evident to Solomon that he needs to act against those who had rebelled against David's authority, or they would bring conflict to his kingdom also. 1 Kings 2:13. And Adonijah, remember him? Mm-hmm. The son of Haggith comes to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. And she says, comest thou peaceably? Oh, yes, peaceably. And he said, Thou knowest that the kingdom was mine, and that all Israel set their faces on me, that I should reign. Howbeit the kingdom is turned about, and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Now that's a pretty insightful statement, isn't it? Everyone wanted me to be the next king except God. That's what he is saying, right? Yeah. Is trouble not far behind? He hasn't really come to terms yet with what the will of the Lord was. Verse 16. And now I ask one petition of thee, deny me not. And she said unto him, say on. And you can see her biting her tongue. Oh, man. And he said, speak, I pray thee, unto Solomon the king, for he will not say thee nay, that he gives me Abishag the Shunammite to wife. Oh, bad move. You know, it might have been better for him just to stay quiet. Just stay out of Solomon's thoughts. Go on a long cruise, you know, that lasts. You know, just get out of the way for a while. But no, he comes right into it. And can I have that woman? And Bathsheba said, well, I'll speak to the king about that. Bathsheba therefore went unto King Solomon to speak unto him for Adonijah. And the king rose up, Mama, good to see ya. And he bowed himself unto her and sat on his throne and called, bring a nice chair for my mama. And she sat on his right hand. Then she said, I desire one small petition of thee, I pray thee, say me not nay. And the king said unto her, ask on, my mother, for I will not say thee nay. And she said, let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah thy brother to wife. And King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, and why dost thou ask Abishai the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my elder brother, even for him, and for Abiathar the priest, and for Joab the son of Zeruiah. Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah had not spoken this word against his own life. Uh-oh, told you. Now, therefore, as the Lord liveth, which hath established me and set me on the throne of David my father, and who hath made me a house as he promised, Adonijah shall be put to death this day. And now it's time for the Godfather scene. Solomon goes into action against all those who went against David's authority. Verse 25. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah. Remember, he's David's personal bodyguard. This was one bad mother. This was Shaft. All right. And he fell upon... So, Benaiah, come here. And he fell upon him that he died. And then unto Abiathar the priest, said the king, get thee to Anathon, unto thy own field, for you're worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted. So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. So this was foretold to Eli that basically his priestly line would end. Here's the last one. God just keeps saying, hey, this is going to happen. And it does. Imagine that. All right. Abiathar is exiled rather than killed because he was a priest of the Lord. He had shared in some of David's afflictions. But this officially ends the priestly line of Eli that had been foretold in 1 Samuel 2. Now, verse 28. Then tidings came to Joab. And Joab knew he was next on the list. For Joab had turned after Adonijah, though he turned not after Absalom. And Joab fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold of the horns, the knobs on the altar. And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he's by the altar. Then Solomon said, Benaiah, go get him. Go fall upon him. And Benaiah, you know, came to the tabernacle of the Lord, said unto him, thus says the king, come forth. And he said, hey, no way, I'll die here. If I got to die, I'm going to die right here. And Benaiah brought the king word and said, thus says Joab, and this is how he answered me. King said unto him, do as he hath said and fall upon him and bury him. Why? That thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. It would have plagued the nation if he didn't take Joab out. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, who fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner, the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa, the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon the house of his seed forever. But upon David and upon his seed and upon his house and upon his throne shall there be peace forever from the Lord. So Benaiah the son of Jehoiada went up, fell upon him, slew him, and buried him in his own house in the wilderness. Solomon did not want any of Joab's past indiscretions to come back like Saul's did to plague the nation of Israel later on. Verse 35. And the king put Benaiah in his room over the host, and Zadok the priest did the king put in the room of Abiathar. So Benaiah, who had served his father David well for years, was now installed as commander over all the military forces of Israel. He gets promoted. He joins the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Verse 36. And the king sent and called for Shemaiah. Oh, this will be good. The rock thrower, the one who cursed them. And he said unto him, build thee a house in Jerusalem and dwell there, and go not forth thence anywhere. And it shall be that on the day you leave Jerusalem, the day you pass over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thy own head. And Shemaiah said unto the king, okay, this thing's good. Like that. No problem. As my lord thy king has said, so will thy servant do. And Shemaiah dwelt in Jerusalem many days. And it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of his servants of Shemaiah ran away unto Achish, son of Machai, king of Gath. And they told Shemaiah, saying, hey, your servants are in Gath. And Shemaiah arose, saddled his ass, and he went to Gath. guess what he did? He left Jerusalem to seek his servants. And when Shemaiah went, he brought his servants from Gath. He went and got them and brought them back. And it was told Solomon. Guess what, Solomon? After 3 years, we finally got him. Shemaiah had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shemaiah and said, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, know for certain on the day that thou goest out and walkest abroad any whither, that thou shalt surely die? And thou saidest unto me, you answered, the word that I have heard is good. You agreed to it. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? And the king said moreover to Shemaiah, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst do to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon your own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. And the king commanded Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, who went out, and he fell upon him, that he died. And the kingdom was established in the hand of Solomon.